Good evening, everyone. How are you? Did the Chargers win today? Football season's almost over. What are we going to do? Get ready for next year. Yay. Welcome to all the visitors. I saw some of y'all stand up. Y'all excited to be here. Very good. Yeah, so what's up? How you doing? We are concluding a series today called Treasure Island. If you're a visitor, this series is about stewardship and handling our money the God's way. So hopefully, sorry your first time here. We got to be talking about money, but we're going to finish up today. And to do that, we're going to do something different. We're going to have a text message poll. So if you got your phone, take your phone out and turn on. And we're going to interview a young man here in a minute. Everyone say, hi, Dave. It's just like AA meeting. Say, we love you, Dave. And then we're going to have a quiz, and then we're going to sign a commitment card in a minute. Matter of fact, get the commitment card out. In your bulletin, you have a little white card that looks like this. Okay? And I just want to prep you for this card. And if you go to another church, when you sign this card, you could sign it for you and your church. So it doesn't have to be here. But it's basically a commitment to honoring God with your finances, which has kind of been the whole purpose of this series, is to get us in a mindset of honoring God. That's why we went in the fast. And it'll say, you write your name. You don't do this now, but commit to God, honoring God with my treasures in 2008 by one, tithing faithfully. We'll talk about what that means. Being a generous giver, which is over and above tithes. Offerings are over and above tithes. And completing the RFL class, the Rock Financial Life class, which is about adopting God's principles for handling your money. Then you'll sign it and date it. And then you will keep this. We're not going to collect this from you and call you up every month to see how you're doing. But you're going to keep this. This is for yourself to remind you of your commitment. So we'll do that at the end. I just want you to know that that's in there and what that's for. We're going to take a poll. And how many of you have your phone? Let's see your phones. Very good. Very good. We're going to have you text. How many of you that have a phone, you don't know how to text? Okay, so can you just hold your hands up for all you youngins around them? Just help them. Can you hold your hands up? If you have a phone, you don't have a text, and you want us to help you, just raise your hand. Well, if you don't know how to text, raise your hand again, and someone around you, especially if they're under 20, they'll know, especially, because this is all they know, is how to text. Okay? So here's the question, and it's up on the thing. Okay. What is your tithing based on, the amount of money you have? And before you do this, let me explain tithing. Tithing is not giving money when the plate comes. That's giving money when the plate comes. Tithe means actual a tenth. Okay, so if you make 30 grand, that's 3 grand, a tenth of your gross. Oh, well, actually, that's the question. Do you tithe after bills, before bills, or you don't tithe regularly? And if you do, then you text that number, that information. SD Rock, blah, 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 C, blah, 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 blah. Okay? SD Rock C, and then you dial that phone number. So let the people around you tell you how to do that, and then go for it. And then we'll see the results come up on the screen. This is real time. You've never seen this ever in your life. Do not try this at home. It could be very dangerous. Here we go, 78%, 50. Now this is, remember, see there's 40 votes in the bottom? We're gonna see if we can get 200 votes, okay? 65 votes, y'all see that? 48%, we got 85 votes. 98 votes. Can we get to 200? Say amen if we get 200. Dang. Can we get to 200? Amen. Y'all want to go to heaven? Yeah. There you go. Okay. 164. Look at that. Ye of little faith. 181. I will be there in a snap. Snap. There you go. There we go. Okay, so here we go. 200 votes, 50% tithe before bills, 41% don't tithe regularly, 10% after bills. Now, I'm going to tell you that that's 50% of 222 people. Will we average that out? I don't think 50% of this church tithes because of the amount of money we get in versus the amount of money of the amount of people here. A lot of people don't tithe. You saw 40% of the people. 40% of those 200 people say they don't tithe regularly. If we are going to, when I say we, the church, are going to accomplish our mission, we all have to do our part, and actually we have to increase those numbers. So in order to do that, we want to educate you and have what the Bible says. We want to give you opportunities to learn and manage your money better. So therefore, we have Dave. Everyone say hi, Dave.
Hi.
Dave teaches a class called Rock Financial Living, and he's been teaching this class here for 3 years. And this class starts, the new session starts Friday and Sunday. This week, we're going to have one on Friday nights, on Sunday afternoons at 2 o'clock for 6 weeks. So we wanted to tell you about that class and encourage you to go to that class and find out what it's about.
So what's the class about? We teach the biblical principles. We teach about the world's financial plan versus God's financial plan. And guess what? They're different, right? We teach about financial planning, budgeting, lifestyle choices. We teach about giving. We teach about saving. We teach about debt. We talk about not only the biblical principles, but the practical skills, the habits that we all have to adopt to handle God's money God's way. So we cover a lot of ground.
Okay, so what type of person should go to this class?
Who should go to class? Okay, let me ask some questions. You got to be all honest. How many want to save more? How many want to get out of debt? Right? How many parents want to be able to teach your kids good financial habits, good principles, so that your kids have a better chance of being successful financially? Any parents? How many of you would want to give more? Now, how many of you want to be able to give more? So, Miles, it doesn't matter whether you've been a pastor 15 years or a Christian for 15 minutes. This class is for you. There's things that you need to learn to honor God with your money.
And I would encourage you to not only do it for your kids, but to bring your kids to the class and let them learn it themselves. And if they have a job, you know, making, $200 a month, let them come to this class and learn how to be faithful with that $200 a month. I had a young kid come to me today. He said he lost, he got money, like 20 grand when he was a teenager, and he lost it, and he made bad decisions. And he feels like, man, I got to go to this class, try to get that money back, and try to, I said, no. God just educated you. You had an experience. Not many kids at 18 years old have 20 grand to even lose. Okay, but you got an experience, and God educated you, took him $20,000 to educate you. Now you're going to take that knowledge, and maybe he might entrust you with $20 million one day. But the point is that when they're young, if they can learn these principles when they're young, that with a little bit. Remember, the Bible says if you're faithful with little, he'll entrust you with a lot. And so this is the best time to have your kids learn these principles when they're even making, like I said, a little bit of money.
That's right.
Okay. Why are you so passionate about it? You've been doing this for 3 years here.
I'll just give you a story. About a year ago at the Toys for Joy event, so this is December of 2006, a young lady of about 25, 26, somewhere in that range, walked up to my teaching partner, Scott Broberg, and she said to him, blah, 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 whatever. And Scott waves me over, and he asked her, tell Dave the same story. So here's what she said to me. She said, I took your class in 2005. And over a year's period of time, I paid off $15,000 in credit card debt. It's 15000. I've funded my emergency fund. I'm starting now to save for retirement, investing for retirement. I'm totally debt-free at 25, 26. And I looked at her, Miles. I looked at her in the eye, and I said, are you free? And she starts tearing up. And she says, for the first time in my life, I don't care what other people think about the way I dress. She says, for the first time in my life, I'm not obsessed with clothes. She goes, yeah, I'm free. Just hearing that story jacks me up. It just, I took everything I could not to tear up myself. See, the reason The reason why the ministry is called the Rock Financial Life Ministry is when you handle his resources his way, you get your life back. You have joy, you have peace, you have a sense of security, you get your life back. That's why I'm passionate.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
And I would say two things about what he said. He talked about emergency fund. I don't know how many of you have an emergency fund, but that's one of the things that you will get. You'll learn through the class, and maybe some things about money and budgeting that you don't know that you're going to learn. Number two, everyone do like this with your hand. Okay? In order for your fingers to do that, many things have to work together. Your brain has to send a message down. Has to make a decision. Electricity goes up your arm to move your shoulder, your forearm, your bicep, your tricep, and your wrist and your fingers up. Your muscles, your bones, your ligaments, your tendons, and all the chemicals that have to talk to each other all have to work together for you to do that. You take it for granted, but all that has to happen, and a lot more stuff has to happen. And there's every part of your life is connected. And when this lady got her bills out, why is it that when he asked her was she free, she didn't say something like, now I get to spend more money on this. She said, I'm not worried about what people think about me. Why? Because a lot of times your financial pressure will put pressure on your relationships, it will put pressure on your view of yourself. And when you remove that pressure and that worry and that stress, all of a sudden all the areas of your life get aligned. And now you have better communication with you and God, better communication with you and people, because you don't have this preoccupation of worrying about money or money-related things. So it's not just a money thing. It's going to affect your whole life. Matter of fact, one of the top three reasons people get a divorce, and over half the people who get married get a divorce. Half. Every other marriage ends in divorce. And one of the top three reasons is money. I might even say it's not in the top two. It's money-related. Money, how stupid that is, that you would fall in love, marry somebody, and let money break you up. It's a great tool of the devil. It's a great thing of the devil to use money. Money's not evil, but the love of money is, and so that is the root of all evil. Yeah. One more story about a life change.
A couple years ago, young man was in class. His name is Rob Novak. You might know him. He's part of the altar call ministry at the church here. After week two, Rob made a decision to go into ministry full-time, to go to seminary. So he heard something that just changed the way he thought. He got free. He got free of the world's ideas of what he should be and what he should pursue, and he embraced God's ideas. Now, not all of you are going to do that. But when you apply God's principles and do it his way, he'll free you to pursue your passion his way.
When I got into ministry full time, it was August of '86. I just retired from the charges, and we did not make nearly the money they make now, but I was making good money then, and I wanted to be in ministry, and I got offered a job at Horizon Christian Fellowship for $500 a month. Now I had a house, I had a car, two cars. I don't know if I had two car payments. I had one wife and three children, and I was trying to, you know, do things right, you know what I'm saying? And $500 wouldn't have paid for my house payment, much less my insurance and all the other bills that come with running the family. And I did not make a decision based on the money alone. I had thrown all my chips in with God. And God said to me when he offered me $500 a month, $500 a month, depending on how good in math you are, that's $125 a week. And on a five-week month, it's $100 a week. Well, I knew that. And God said to me, are you going to trust me, or are you going to do it for, you know, are you going to let money dictate to you your decisions? And I said, in 3 seconds, or two, I said, I'll take the job. Now, I should have prayed about it, or negotiated, or, you know, I just said, nah, I just want to do this. And my point in telling you that story is that once you get a proper view of your money, that it is not the determinant of your life, and once you are set free from that bondage, then you're going to be set free to do and make decisions that you normally might not make because you think the numbers always have to line up. And all your life, God is going to call you to do stuff where stuff doesn't line up. As long as you know it's him, it's got to be him. And you're going to trust him, you will be free to live the life that God has called you to live. What do I do now? What do they do if they want to take the class?
Everybody got one of these, right? open up your bulletin. Right inside one of the flaps here is a place to register for the class. So rip it up, fill it out right now, and hand it to an usher, put it at the, hand it out to the information table. I'll see you Friday night in this room at 6:30. You want to come early. Class starts at 7, but it's going to be crowded. You want to be here about 6:30 to get materials and get registered. Child care is provided. Materials are $15. Bring your Bibles.
And they can register online?
You can register online.
Okay, you can register online. Say Friday. Everyone say Friday. At 7 o'clock here, and also Sunday at 2. You can take either class. $15 for the materials. If you have kids, they have child care for your children. How many are interested in coming to the class, by the way? Raise your hand real high. Very good, very good. We had 500 people register already just today in the lobby. So, you know, people are going to do it online and just show up. You can do it online, you can show up, and we're going to have a great time. My wife and I are going to be here every week that we're in town. We will be here. We're going to be here definitely this Friday, and I believe most of the Fridays, if not all, we're going to be at the class. We're very interested in learning this stuff as well. Amen?
Amen.
Give Dave a hand.
That's good.
Thank you, brother. Okay, some of y'all might say, well, you know, Friday night's my boogie down night, you know, hey, whatever you're going to do. Well, you can still boogie down. Just come to the class at 7 and then go boogie after. If you want to go a date night, there's places to eat right across the street if you want to, but it will be out by 9, and then you still have, you know, the night will be young for all you youngins. For us old people, you just go home and have some tea and go to bed, but I'd be start yawning at 8:30, anyway. Let's see your Bibles. Let's try that one more time. See your pen. Okay, put that away. We're going to do a quiz. Okay, here's how we do the quiz. What is the quiz position? Tell the person next to you quiz position. Booty back. That means sit up straight. Put your booties back. Booties in the back of the seat. This is a participatory activity. I ask you a question. That's a big word for me. I ask you a question. You say the word back. So if I say, who's the man, you say?
Jesus.
If I say, who's the man, you say?
Jesus.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. And we pray you bless us today. And we pray that we would learn. In Jesus' name, everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. Very good. One of the things we've been doing over the last 3 weeks as we end every service is we had a prayer time, and we used an acronym called OSIPA. So I want to start today by going through that. Now, whenever you pray, it is best to pray, and at least this is my experience, and take it for what it's worth, but it's best to pray in one specific topic at a time. In other words, instead of thanking God and asking for this and, you know, praying for this person, and you're praying all over the map, And it could be very confusing for you as well. God's not confused, but you might be. It's good to pray in one area at a time, one topic. So we use an acronym called OSIPA. Everyone say OSIPA.
OSIPA.
Say A.
A.
Spell it with me. Spell it.
A-W-C-I-P-A.
Say it again.
A-W-C-I-P-A.
Very good. What you want to do is pray in one letter, one topic at a time. A means admire. Say admire. Say admire. That means you spend a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, however long. All you're doing is admiring and thanking God for anything you can think of. Two is wait, where you sit quietly and listen. Everyone say wait.
Wait.
Say wait.
Wait.
C is where you confess sin. If you ever get to a point where you want to confess sin and all you do is do this, dear God, please forgive me for... then you ain't in touch with your life, okay? Because we all got sin, amen? And what you don't want to do when you confess sin is you do not want to spend all your time saying, dear God, forgive me. You want to tell God what your sin is. I had a guy come to me recently, and he said he had an anger problem, and I said, what are you mad? Are you mad at God? He said, yeah, I am mad at God, and his father died when he was little. And I said, You need to tell God that you don't hold a grudge against him and you need to ask him to forgive you. He says, well, I've done that. I said, let me encourage you to write it down. If you write it down, it'll be a whole lot more thorough. You could write out your prayers. Write admire and then write out everything you thank God for. Write a Bible verse. Write out, and when you wait, write down what God tells you. When you confess, write out your sins. I do this with my kids all the time. I give them a book, and then I look in the book when they're not looking. You know what I'm saying? No, I'm not kidding. But when they were little, we would go around a circle and pray, and then we would say, okay, let's all confess sin. And I'm like, listen to what they're going to say. But when you write in the book, you want to, you know, hide the book, but you could write your prayers out. So C is confess. Everyone say confess. I is intercede. Say intercede. Intercede is between you and somebody else. You're praying for somebody else. So look to the person next to you and say intercede. One more time. Look to the person next to you. Look at the end of the book. Look to the person on the other side of you and say intercede. Very good. Some of y'all are like lizards. You're not moving your head, but your eyes are doing that, okay? Golly.
Intercede, you know what I mean?
Okay. You want to pray for other people. Then P is petition. Everyone say petition.
Petition.
Say petition. Petition is when you pray for yourself. Now, the reason it's good at the end is because if you pray for yourself first, your prayer will sound like this. Dear God, can I have a real sweet babe and a red Corvette and a house in La Jolla on the cliffs looking at the waves? If you pray at the end, after you've confessed your sin and acknowledged that you're a dirtbag, you pray for other people who are doing worse than you, and then when you get to yourself, you're going to go, dear God, you know, my bicycle's okay. I don't need a girlfriend because I don't know how to treat one. And I don't even know where La Jolla is, so I don't need a house there. Okay. So you want to put your prayers. And by the way, what happens when you pray? God shapes your heart. And God wants to get you to a point where you are praying what he wants you to pray. And where, in other words, what you want is what he wants. And when your desires and his desires are lined up, you get what you ask for. Don't ever think that if you just pray and say in Jesus' name that God's going to give you what you ask for. That's not how it works. God wants to shape your heart where you are praying what he wants for you. Okay, it's not a good luck charm, genie in the bottle thing. It's more, God, I am going to get in line with you, and you're going to give me the desires of my heart. It doesn't mean you're going to give me what I want. It means you're going to shape what I want, and then you're going to give me that. Okay? That's how it works. God wants to mold you and shape you into his image. So anyone say, Osipa? Say Osipa. Okay, real loud, let's say the words. A means? A means? W means? C means? I want to see if you guys are reading it or not. A means, see, you wouldn't even tell me. Y'all just cheat, right? Just make you think, y'all, look how much we know, but we're reading off the board, okay? A means what? W means? C means? I means? I means? P means? A means? A means? What's the whole word? What's the whole word? Say it backwards. Okay, very good. Say Treasure Island. We've been talking about Treasure Island, and depending on what island you live, or depending on where you live, or depending on where you are a citizen, you live by those rules. If you're a citizen of this earth, you live by the rules of the world. But if you're a citizen of heaven, you live by the rules of heaven. If you notice in our graphic, what did you notice about the island? It's sinking. It's sinking. Why? Because this earth is passing away. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. You don't want to be on a sinking ship. You want to be on something that's going to last forever. So we're going to talk about the distinction between how the people on this island live and spend their money and how people on this island live and spend their money. Number one, on this island, the world, people strive to get rich. They think they own it, and they hoard it to themselves. This is strive. Say strive. Say own. Say hoard. Everyone take a deep breath in. Say strive. That's what I want to hear. Amen. That's very, very good. Okay. So people do what? Take a deep breath. They what? People do what to get rich? And they think they what? And they do what to themselves? And also the Bible said that riches on this earth are going to fade away. Say fade. How many of you recognize that you are getting older? Okay, you look in the mirror and you go, oh, I'm getting crow's thing in my hair, and oh, I'm sagging, oh my goodness, I'm getting old. I talk to people literally all the time. I ask people what their age is all the time, men and women, and women say, you're not supposed to ask a lady that. Well, that ain't in the Bible, so that don't mean I can't do it. So, so So I ask people, because I like to know who I'm talking to and how old people are, you know, what they should know. And people are saying, I'm getting so old. Oh, I'm feeling so, I said, how old are you? I'm 29. I can't even remember being 29. But anyway, I was at the conference. I was in Jamaica, West Indies, all last week from Tuesday to yesterday, preparing for our crusade there in May. And I spoke at two pastors' conferences, one in Montego Bay, where our crusade is at, and one in Kingston, where Luis Palau's crusade is going to be at the same weekend. And this pastor came up to me after. We were eating lunch. I spoke twice in the morning. We were going to do another session in the afternoon. And he came to me. He's sitting next to me in lunch, and he goes, from the back of the room, you look like a youth. You're just now registering what that means. Let me say it in San Diego language. From the back of the room, you look young. And now that I'm sitting next to you, you look old and crusty. I mean, he didn't say that, but that's what he meant. He's like, oh, you look so young from the back of the room. And, you know, so basically he's saying, you've aged just since I walked to the front of the room. All of our riches are going to fade. Say fade.
Fade.
Say fade.
Fade.
So in this world, we do what to get rich? And we think we what? And we do what to ourselves? Now, I'm not saying all you hoard to yourself, but that's the mentality. So we don't, you know, anyway. Say four words. Say rust.
Rust.
Say moth.
Moth.
Say stolen.
Stolen.
Say eagles.
Eagles.
Let's say it again. Say rust.
Rust.
Say moth.
Moth.
Say stolen.
Stolen.
Say eagles.
Eagles.
All your riches, they will turn brown with.
Rust.
They will be eaten by.
Moth.
They will be what by wicked people?
Moth.
And they will fly away like what? Okay, say it again. They will turn brown by. They will be eaten by. They will be what by wicked people? And they will fly away like what? That's all in the Bible. The Bible tells that. Everything you're going to have is going to rust. It's going to be stone. Why store riches that are going to rust? Why store riches that are going to be eaten by moths? Why store riches that can be stolen? Why store riches that are going to fly away like eagles? How many of you have ever seen money just fly away? I mean, it's like, where'd it go? How many of you have ever said, I don't know where it went? Okay, number two, that's island number one. Island number two, you are blessed by God. Everyone say blessed.
Blessed.
Say blessed.
Blessed.
Take a deep breath in. Say blessed.
Blessed.
And see, I know you have it. I know you have it. You are blessed by God. Now, let me tell you, when you never want to believe a preacher that tells you that if you give us your money, God's going to give you a whole lot more. Don't believe that. Because God may not give you a whole lot more money, but you will be blessed. What does that mean? Some of you don't need a whole lot more money. Really. And this may be the backwards, the worst thing I could be telling you. But you don't want to give money because you think you're going to get more money. You want to give money because you want to honor God. Now, if you get more money in the end, fine. But what you will be is blessed. Question. How many of you would prefer... This is one scenario, and this is the other scenario, and I'm going to ask you to pick one of these scenarios by raising your hand. Scenario number one is that you have millions of dollars and you are miserable. Scenario number two is that you have enough to live, but you are so happy. How many want this scenario? How many want a scenario where you have millions, but you're miserable? How many want the scenario where you have enough, but you're happy? Very good. How many of you would love to have the millions and try to be happy? I think that's probably what you meant. Yeah, you are. Give me the money, and I'll work out the happiness thing, okay? Now, let me tell you. So when God says, I'm going to bless you, he may say, you know what? You have so much money. You had so much money for so long, and you've never been happy. Let me show you what it's like to be happy. And he may lower your income or your money, and you're going to be, I know people this has happened to. They tried it, and God says, I'm taking everything from you. And they'll say these words, I make less than I've ever made, I have this simple life, and I am so much more happier. Now, it doesn't mean that God doesn't want you to have a lot of money. It means that God wants you to be in touch with him. And for every one of us, that's different. I know a guy who is in Jamaica. He's actually sponsoring the Crusades. He's putting up a whole lot of money to pay for the Crusades in Jamaica. He's not paying all of ours. He's paying all of another one. But he's given some money to ours. He's given a considerable amount of money to our crusade, but not all of it. But why is he doing that? Does he need more money? No, he doesn't need more money. He's invested in the kingdom of God. Now, will God give money? I don't know, probably, but God may just make him happy. That's a guarantee he's going to be blessed. So when God says you're going to be blessed, it means you're going to be spiritually blessed. When someone tells you God wants you to be rich, that is not in the Bible. Jesus died with nothing, on a cross, murdered as a criminal. That is not a prosperity life. So don't expect to get any more than a teacher. So don't ever believe God wants me to be rich. God has wants you to be rich spiritually, and he's going to feed you every day. He's going to take care of your needs, but you do not need to be rich to be happy. That is not biblical. That is unbiblical. Matter of fact, the Bible says that God chose the poor to be rich in faith. And where I grew up in my house, we didn't know how much money we didn't have. What we did have was a lot of happiness, but we didn't know, now looking back on it, how we weren't poor. My father was a cop. He made, a decent living. My mother was a nurse. But we were not rich by any stretch of the imagination. But I was happy beyond belief. I didn't need anything. Why? Because we had each other and we were happy. That's all you need, and have God in your life. And so don't be deceived. So when you say you're blessed, don't ever get that in your mind. So in island number two, you are what by God? Say blessed. Blessed. Say blessed. Blessed. And you use your earthly riches to invest. Say invest. Blessed. In God's kingdom. Say kingdom. Kingdom. Say kingdom. Kingdom. In God's kingdom, you are blessed by God. Say what by God? Blessed. You are what by God? Blessed. And you use your riches to do what? Blessed. In God's what? Blessed. And that doesn't mean you give all your money. It just means that when you tithe the offering, you're invested in God's kingdom. You're not giving it to the church. You're invested in something eternal. People are going to get saved. They're going to get equipped. Their lives are going to be changed by your financial investment. That's what pays for all the lights in the buildings, et cetera, et cetera. Luke 12:34 says, where your treasure is, there your heart is. Say treasure. Treasure. Say heart. Luke 12:34 says, where your what is? Treasure. Say what? Treasure. There your what is. Say heart. Let's say it again. For Luke 12:34 says, where your? Treasure. Therefore your? Heart. Very good. So now you maybe say, well, if my heart's not in it, then I'm not going to put my treasure there. That's true. You will not put your heart where your treasure. You will not put your treasure where your heart is not. Matter of fact, if you look at your checkbook is a theological document. It tells you where your heart is. Look at your checkbook. Where do you put all your money? That's where your heart is. It's in things. Now, let me say this: you don't have to wait for your heart to change to invest your treasure. I will say it in this way: how many of you have somebody in your life that you don't get along with, or that irritates you? Raise your hand. Okay. You may say in your head, in order for me to like them, they have to change. How many believe that they kind of have that kind of mentality? They have to change. Raise your hand. Don't be shy. We all know that you don't like people. Okay, that's very good. Okay, thank you. Okay. So you think, in order for me to like them or get along, they have to change. And so I'm going to sit here and wait for them to change. So therefore, my heart is not going to be with them. I'm not going to be nice to them because my heart's not with them. And for my heart to be with them, they have to change. I would say it this way. You can be nice to them before your heart changes. And then your heart will follow your action. Your heart doesn't have to lead. In other words, you can make a conscious decision. I'm going to pray for them, that God bless them. I'm going to pray that God shows me something good in their life before I feel like it. And if I start praying for them, watch God change my heart. And my point is this, is that when God says to do something, because your heart's not in it, does not mean you are free to not obey. Because God is going to call you to walk by faith, and he's going to tell you to do things that you might not want to do. Matter of fact, you won't want to do. But if you know it's true, by faith you do it. That is having faith. But if you just wait till you feel like it, the Bible says the Bible doesn't say obey God when you feel like it. The Bible says the just shall walk by faith, and faith goes against your desire, your feelings. Whenever I talk, many times when I speak outside the church at large events, I am very, very, very nervous to the point where I will say in my mind, man, I wish I wasn't doing this. Now, of course, I am glad I'm there, and after it's over, I'm very ecstatic I did it, but it's very nerve-wracking, and I'm like, man, I wish I didn't have to go through this hassle. I mean, that's just me whining and complaining for being nervous, but it's because it is a new thing. It is a challenge, but doesn't mean I could say no. I go against the nerves, I'm walking out nervous, and then all of a sudden it's a blessed thing. Your Christian life is going to be like that, where you're going to have things you have to do and that is going to be against what your heart wants to do. It doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. It means you should do it and then watch your heart change. Now, you're going to pick an island where your heart is, where your what is? You're going to pick an island where your what is? Everyone say heart. Say heart. Say three things. Say heart. Say familiar. Say personal benefit. Say personal benefit. Say master. Say heart. Say familiar. Say personal benefit. Say master. You're going to pick an island that where your what is and where you feel like you are, things are what? Familiar. Say familiar. And where you think you're going to get the most. Very good. Where you think you're going to get the most. And the island you choose is going to be the home of your true. This island, the master is the devil. He's the prince of the power of the air. You will be controlled by your lender. You will be controlled by the bank and your credit card. Over here, your master is Jesus. You have to trust him. When I made a decision to go into the ministry for the money I did, I threw all my chips in with Jesus. I said, God, you've always taken care of me. I know you're going to take care of me. And did he? Absolutely. I haven't been in ministry ever since. And so you're going to pick an island, and you're going to pick a mentality of being faithfully honoring God with your money or doing it for yourself whenever you feel like it or whenever it's convenient based on who is your master. Okay? So you're going to pick an island where your what is, where your what is, where your what is, and where you're going to pick an island where you are, things are, and where you have a perception of the greatest what? Say it again. And the home of your, very good. You then now have to make a decision. Where do you want your heart to be? You can make that decision. Where do you want to be most familiar? Where do you perceive your personal benefit? Are you going to benefit more by serving yourself and the ways of the world? Or are you going to benefit more by investing in God and his plan for your life? That's a decision you make. It's a choice. And obviously, which master do you want? Which master do you want? Some people are familiar with having dysfunctional relationships. There are some people who are familiar with always being the victim. Always being, oh, poor me. Do we know those people? Okay. Some people are familiar with negative, having problems in their life, and it's like sitting in this chair. This chair is dysfunction in some form or fashion. They always have a jacked up person they're dating. They're always in debt. They're always late. They always got a problem. There's always something dramatic going on. There's always someone against them, and this is where they live. And if someone says, I want you to come sit over here where you don't have any of that drama, guess what some of them will do? They will do this. I really want to be over there. And they'll complain why they're not. Do we know these people? And they will complain. You say, no, come over here. I can fix you. Well, I don't know. And then they start to tell you all the reasons why they can't. Why? Because they're so familiar with complaining. And they will live in this chair for the rest of their life, and they will never take a step of faith and change. Why? Because this is what they're familiar with. They feel comfortable. People go to prison over and over because that's all they know, and they're comfortable there, as horrible as it is. The devil says, that's what you know, don't take faith to move over here. So somehow we have to make it, we have to train, give them opportunity and challenge them to come over here. Every day you come to church, every single day you come to church, we are talking about something to get you to move from here to there. And you have to make a decision, I want to go over there. And the only reason you're going to go over there, if you believe that this is better than this, if you believe this is better, then you shouldn't come to church because we're not talking about this chair. We're talking about this chair. Are you following me? But you have to really believe that sitting over here is going to be better for you. And it has to do with your relationships. Some of y'all living together right now and having sex as you're married, but you're not married. I can tell you, you're in this chair. And you'll never be blessed by God as much as you will be in that chair. No matter how many excuses you have, well, we're saving money. God doesn't need you to save money. God will provide for you. By faith, you sit in this chair at all costs. And so if you say, God, I'm going to honor you, and I'm going to sit in this chair at all costs, God will honor you. He has to. He has to. So we're always talking about coming over here. Now, this process of getting up and coming over here is scary for some. It's scary. But it's faith. This is what God wants you to do. Make sense? Very good. Very good. Very good. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Okay, your checkbook is a theological document. What kind of document? Theological. What kind of document? Theological. Treasure Islanders are managers. Say managers. Managers. Say managers. Managers. They are you are managers of God's gift. You do not own it. You manage. You are managing your very life. You do not own your life. God can stop your heart, you can't. God keeps your heart beating, you don't. God keeps your eyes blinking, you don't. You're not in control of your life. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. God does. And so you are only managers. When you have children, your children are not yours. For all of you who have children, we know that God owns our children. Amen? And for that, praise the Lord. you just can't do everything for them. You can't be there for them. You can't be with them 24 hours a day. And thank God that God is. My wife, she, you know, my kids are out until whatever their curfew is. I mean, they're 19 and 21 and 22. One doesn't even live with us. But she's, oh, you know, she can't go to sleep until they're in the house. And I'm like, you know. But she's like, oh, yeah, I got, you know, she's texting on the phone. And, you know, it's like, she's like constant umbilical cordness. You know, where are you at? What's everything going? And I'm like, you know, go outside, dude. I got to go to sleep. But they're not in the house. Oh, that'll be okay. Because the Lord is one of them. Now, they still can get messed up. But, you know, we still can get in trouble. But thank God, God's blessed us. So anyway, God wants you to be a cheerful giver. Say cheerful. Cheerful. Watch this. God wants you to be what giver?
Cheerful.
What kind of giver?
Cheerful.
Three times. That's scary? Did you say that was scary? Dang. Man, I just spent money for this smile. What are you talking about? Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Right on, brother. Right on. Okay. God wants you to help be what kind of giver? Okay. For reals, though. For reals, though. I was learning patois in Jamaica. And you know, do y'all know patois? Do y'all know what patois is? I mean, you've heard of it. You haven't heard of patois? Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Well, this is Ebonics. For real, though. For real, though. That's bad. That's Ebonics, okay? It's just for real, though. Or, you know, patois is, it's a combination of, I think there's French in it and African dialect and African accents. And so when you go to Jamaica, for all you go, I went to a class with 30 kids, and we talked for half an hour, and I understood like 10% of what they said. Because they have the Jamaican accent, and then they speak patois. And in patois, if I say wagwan, wagwan means what's going on. So they say wagwan. And if they say, me check for you means me check for you, I like you. I know. I don't know where I was going with that, but for real though, God wants a what giver?
Cheerful.
You want to be happy, oh, for real, cheerful giver. Malachi 3:8 says God was chastising Israel because they weren't tithing. A tithe means a tenth. A tithe means a what?
Tenth.
Say tenth. And the Bible says in Proverbs 3:8, 3, 9, and 10, a tenth of your first fruits. Abraham gave a tenth of all. Some of you may think, well, I'm going to tithe after my taxes. I'm going to tithe after my bills. Well, you're not giving God the first fruits. You're not giving God a tenth of all. You are giving the government first. God says, no, pay me first. Now, you may say, well, if I pay God first, I can't live. Well, then you're living too high. God's first. Now, do you want God to bless your net or your gross? Personally, I think you should want God to bless your gross. Let's say you make 50 grand a year. You want to make 60, 70, 80? Or do you want, by the way, do you want God stretched to 50 or stretch after taxes? It's up to you. So it's honoring God with your first. Matter of fact, some of y'all are awake in the morning and you are no good after 8 o'clock mentally. Don't pray after 8 o'clock. Pray in the morning. Give God your best. Read your Bible in the morning. Well, I got to get up and go to work. Get up early. Give God your best. You give God your best, you honor God, he will honor you. 1 Samuel 2:30. You honor 2:20. Honor God, he will honor you. And so that's what tithe means. Tithe doesn't mean I'm just gonna write something. That's a tip. Okay? There's a big difference. And so tithe means a tenth. Tithe means a what? Tithe means a what? Of the what fruits? What fruits? What fruits? And in Malachi 3:8, God says, it's the only time in the Bible God says to test me is that if you don't tithe, then I don't bless you where your vats overflow. This is the only time in the Bible. God says, I dare you. Why is he so strong? Because he knows how tightly we hold on to our money. And here's the thing about money. Money, you can't, a dollar is a dollar. You can't fake it. And so God says, test me and watch me do. Watch me. You will be able to calculate my blessing on you. This is what God says. And so he says, test me if I don't open the windows of heaven and your vats where you hold all your stuff overflow. So if God says, if you are faithful to me, I will give you blessings overflowing. Blessings what?
Overflowing.
Blessings what?
Overflowing.
Blessings what? Say it loud.
Overflowing.
Very good. Lastly, God says, if you don't give me what I deserve, you are robbing me. Malachi 3, 8, and 10. Not to give God what he deserves, it is robbing him. It is what him?
Robbing.
It is what?
Robbing.
Okay, everyone sit up straight. Let's do a review. Say managers.
Managers.
I'm just doing a little few things. Cheerful giver.
Cheerful.
Very good. Okay, look at the person next to you. Say, I'm ready.
Ready.
I think. Okay, here we go. Our prayer acronym is? Our prayer acronym is? God loves a what giver?
Cheerful.
Very good. All day, that's been everyone's favorite. Just something about smiling and people just get happy. And when they get happy, they get loud. Okay, all simple. What is? Let's spell all simple. Spell it.
A-W-C-I-P-A.
Spell it again. Spell it again.
A-W-C-I-P-A.
A means?
Wait.
W means?
Wait.
Okay, hey, let's do it now. A means?
Wait.
W.
Wait.
C.
Wait.
C.
Wait.
C.
Wait.
I.
Wait.
P.
Wait.
A. Say it, Maya, three times with my hands. On island number one, we do what to get rich? And we think we what? And we do what to ourselves? But we also know it's going to what away? And they're going to turn brown with? They're going to be eaten by? They're going to be taken? They're going to be do what by wicked people? And they're going to fly away like? In island number two, you are blank by God. You are what by God? And then you do what with your riches? In God's what? Luke 12:34 says, where your what is? Where your what is? Your what is? Say the whole verse for where you're. Say it. What did you just prove to yourself? That your brain memorized the verse without you even trying. Just by you hearing me say it, your brain said, I got this. That's the only reason you said it, because I know you all didn't have that memorized when you came here. Do you know what I'm saying? Your brain is taking information and saying, I got this. And you're like, I don't know what's going on. Your brain's like, I know what's going on. You ever meet somebody, you say, I don't feel right about this person? Now, I don't really know that what I'm getting ready to tell you is true. I'm making this up, but let's go with it anyway. When you meet somebody and you kind of don't feel right, I think that your brain has collected so much information about people over the years that when you meet somebody, it lines up all the information and says, chances are this person is lying. And you don't even know that your brain's doing that. And it's telling you, they're lying. You're like, I don't know. They're lying, they're lying. It's screaming at you. You go, I don't know. Okay, here's my phone number. Can I get an amen? I'm just guessing on that. But okay, you're going to pick an island where your what is? Where your what is? And where, an island that you feel most for? Most what? And where you perceive you're going to get the most? Say it again. And you're going to pick the island, the home of your true, the home of your true, your checkbook is a what kind of document? Your checkbook is what kind of document? As a treasure islander, you are a what of God's gifts? Say it again. Say it again. Think bank manager, money, bank manager. Think manager. Say manager. Very good. God wants you to be a what kind of giver? Say it three times. Do you know that we got criticized for having fun at church? Can you believe that? By another pastor. Are you guys having fun at church? That's not, you know, that's not the Bible. Like, so, a tithe is a what part? A tithe is a what part? Of your what fruits? Ooh. And God says if you're faithful, he says, test me, that if you honor me, I will give you blessings what? Say it again. Let me tell you why God, how God does that. Now, God will not only meet your bills, he will make you happy. That's overflowing blessing. He will make you happy. Where, you know what? Someone's going to say, how much money you make? Say, you know what? I just make enough and I'm so happy. When you die, whether you got $10 million in the bank or $10 in the bank, you ain't going to be thinking about it. You're going to be thinking about facing God. And can you imagine you get to a point where you say, you know, I'm not even, I know my needs are taken care of. I know everything's taken care of. I'm just happy. And that's where you want to be. And when God tells you to move, when I don't mean move your house necessarily, but God tells you to go right, to go left, to go do this, you say, God, I trust you so much, I'm not even going to question. Just tell me what you want me to do. That's the kind of life you want to live. That's when you are free. Because you're going to get in a point in your life where you're going to have people in your life who are important to you, and God is going to ask you to say hard things to them. And if you are in bondage, you will not be able to say the hard things you have to say to them. Therefore, you do them a disservice, and you cheat God out of them being blessed and yourself being blessed. You want to be free where you can say what you have to say, do what you have to do, and then God can use you. But people who are in bondage to society, to money, to their job, to their boss, to whoever, God can't be, he can't be your God in the sense that he can't have control of you. And what he wants is he wants to have freedom to direct your life in any way he wants. And if you put conditions on obeying God, that is not being sold out. That's not being surrendered. You're not surrendered. It's a conditional relationship. You want to have an unconditional relationship with God, whatever you want to do. I quit, left Horizon twice with no job by faith. God said, leave. I said, okay, no job. Matter of fact, when I left to come here, I was working there. I was doing Sunday night service, and I would show up, do two services that grew. We started out with one, and then we had two. That was my job. I just showed up, services, left. And I said, I'm going to start a church. And one of the pastors, they said, why would you leave this? You have the sweetest job in the world. Why would you leave that to start a church and get a staff and do all that? I says, well, one, it's not about me making my life easy for myself. It's about me being obedient. But I says, you wait and watch in 5 years, then you ask me that question. It was because God said, I have something for you to do. And God may call you to do something that is out of this world, and it doesn't make any sense, go. Because God is not about common sense. He's about only his sense. Common sense is what we all got. His ways are way above our ways. It ain't common. It ain't common. Matter of fact, it's not wrong. It's just above common sense. Okay? Okay. A tithe, let's ask this last point. A tithe is a what part? And it's of your what fruits? And God will give you blessings to what? And if you don't give God what is due, it's called what, God? Say it again. Everyone take a deep breath in. Say rob. Very good. Now take this out real quick. We'll do this. And I'll tell you one more story, then you got to go. Sorry, but we got more. We got to get you out of here real quick. Let's fill this out. Oh, by the way, this is for you. Fill it out if you want. It's up to you. You don't want to make a vow before God and not keep it, though. So you want to make sure you understand. I, your blank, your name, commit to honor God with my treasures in 2008 by one, tithing faithfully. You know what that is now? Being a generous giver as the Lord leads. Again, that is as God leads. And completing the class. You could check one or all three boxes. Sign the bottom. Put it in your wallet. And then I'll tell you this last story. While you're filling that out, if you can go on our website at sportsspectrum.com, you'll see a link, sportsspectrum.com. You can get that DVD about LT's testimony for the Super Bowl halftime program. It's a 15-minute DVD. You play it at halftime at your house with your friends watching the Super Bowl. I'm going to be on there sharing the gospel and leading people in the sinner's prayer. So they're going to sell this all over the country to people watching the Super Bowl, and it's all wholly designed to get people saved. So if you go to the website, sportsspectrum.com, and you can buy that, or you can go to ours and get the link and blah, blah, blah. But you want to order it at the beginning of the week so you get it by the Super Bowl. I'll tell you this last story. There's a guy named Martel Van Zandt. Zan Van, something like that. He is a football player for Oklahoma State University, and he's deaf. Played through high school. He's been deaf all his life. And he, when they call the plays, obviously he can't hear them, so they got to do it by sign language. There's a school, as a side note, there's a school in Washington called Gallaudet College. It's a school of the deaf, and they have a football team. And they've had a football team for many years. They invented the huddle because they had to call their plays with sign language. And they didn't want anyone to see the sign language, so they invented the huddle to protect the signs. And that's where the huddle came from. So that's a little free nugget. That don't cost you anything. But this guy on Oklahoma State University, he plays on the football team. They do sign language. And he can't hear, obviously, anything. He can't hear the plays. He can't hear the change of the plays. He can't hear the crowd. He can't hear the crowd. So all the kids in the school obviously know he's deaf. And when they cheer for him in sign language, which is this. Everyone do this. This means you're screaming. Okay? So just what y'all did, thousands of students who all sit in the student section, they all do this. And so he's on the field, and everyone's screaming. He can't hear it. He looks over, and they're all doing this, and then he starts jumping up and down because he hears them screaming. And I know I was watching this on a plane yesterday. I was just getting all teared up because it's just so cool to see them all doing this because they're honoring him. They're saying, you are the man, but they know he can't hear. God, in some ways, is deaf. In other words, God doesn't necessarily listen to everything you say. He wants to watch what you do. Okay? So if you say you're going to do this, do it, and God will honor you. Because signing this and not doing it doesn't fool anybody. And so, and that applies to anything you do in your life. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 5:5, it's better not to make a vow than to make one and break it. So if you're really going to do it. We'll be able to get done what we got to do and equip all y'all and reach the city for Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Let me pray for y'all. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness and your goodness, and we pray that you would bless us. Thank you for this series, and we pray you'd really speak to people's hearts that they would be faithful and they would watch. They would watch and pay attention to watch you open up the windows of heaven and bless them. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. God bless y'all. Have a good week.